Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast and webcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. I'm Brad Locke, your host, joined by Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps, our two high school reporter extraordinaires.
Yeah,
all over the place, covering this time of year football and softball and swimming and volleyball. And
that's right.
It's kind of nuts out there. But
and basketball cranking up.
Oh yeah, and that too. Yeah, so there's plenty. And
soccer.
We got soccer going on. Yeah, well, so yeah, there's plenty going on to cover. we're going to focus on football because it's football. That's football's king. We will touch a little bit on softball and even volleyball a little bit. Gene was out at a volleyball match last night. Again, this is a webcast and a podcast, so we come to you every Wednesday around 11 a.m. here at djournal.com. You can watch it live or catch the replay later in the day. And, of course, the podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Okay. All right, guys. We got a lot to get to today. It's a packed show. Let's start with football, as we always do. We'll look back at last week's results, some of the key results from the football field last week. Let's start with the big one, Gene. Tupelo and South Panola, a game that going in, we said Tupelo was probably favored to win for the first time in recent memory. And Tupelo won, but barely. It was not easy. We didn't think South Panola would make it easy. 3-0 was the final. Last time I saw a 3-0 Tupelo game, I was actually covering the Golden Wave back in the 2004 playoffs that went down to Warren Central and won 3-0.
But I remember that.
Was it still an exciting game, even though it was?
It was. It reminded you, you guys are too young. Some of the old Texas, Oklahoma games would be low scoring and defensive battles and Big Ten football. If you're a Big Ten fan, you see some of those 10-7s, 14-7s. But it was a big win for Tupelo. South Panola is not chopped liver.
No,
they had some early losses to some really good teams. They're a young team, a lot of sophomores. They are very good on the perimeter. Tupelo tried some of those speed sweeps and things that have been so successful against other teams, and South Panola was tackling them in the backfield, but Tupelo found spots off tackle and were able to slash them with Jay Rock Williams and, get some big yardage there. These teams both play between the 30s, essentially.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And it took a 48-yard field goal by Josh Smith. Who to provide the winning margin, I think, in the third quarter. And he
it
said
was.
That was like, yeah, no problem. 48
yeah, and Josh is he's really confident. He's a good kicker. He struggled this year, though. He's missed some 20-yarders and this year, and I know he's been frustrated. But the coaches have confidence in him.
He's obviously got a leg.
He does. He missed a 46-yarder earlier in the game.
Okay.
And but hit that 48-yarder, and I turned to my wife and I said, that might be all the scoring.
Yeah.
Wow. That might be it. And
I meant to look this up, Gene. Maybe you did. When's the last time South Panola got shut out?
You know what?
I don't know.
That's a good question. Didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I'll have to go look that up later. May update y'all with that next time.
Bit of trivia. That is good. I didn't even think. You're in the moment. Trying to do, and you're thinking. You're getting so used. You get used to Tupelo's defense playing so well.
Yeah, exactly.
They held South Panola to under 200 yards.
Wow.
Offense. And another person we should mention is Ray Sandroni came in at quarterback. Stephon McGlynn's had an ankle injury for the last 3 weeks. He was wearing a brace the other night. Got in the end zone, was trying to escape getting tackled for a safety, or we may have had a 3-2 game. And McGlynn threw off that ankle, threw a pass out of bounds, and I think he twisted it. He came off limping. Ray Sandroni, who started the year, a senior, I guess essentially lost his job, came in, and his first play in, they call a fade route. And he's looking over at the sidelines and saying, are you kidding? Because that's a touch throw.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And he completes it for 44 yards. Gets them out of a hole. Gets them at midfield. So, and Ray really had a big game. Moving them between the the 30s. I mean, he wound up completing like 13 of 16 and 166 yards and, you know, kept the offense moving and really did a good job stepping in. For and he did a great job punting too. He pinned them down inside the one time. And he had two other punts inside the five that they, it took kind of crazy bounces, he said, or his guys could have gotten on them. They were making a big play for it. So they could have actually pinned Sal Pinola inside the five three times.
Wow. It was one of those kinds of games. And speaking of McGlon, do we know anything about if he'll be back this week?
I talked with Trent Hammond today about an hour ago. Day to day. How about that coach's answer?
That sounds about right. Day to day.
Day to day. So like, that's it.
Sounds like Sandroni is a heck of a backup option. Given
he is day to day, though, on McGlon.
Okay. So Tupelo with a big win there to remain unbeaten in Division One 6A and atop the standings. Another big game. Amory defeated Shannon 63-41. Second straight week, Shannon has given up 63 points. Although, as Melissa Mader pointed out to me, well, in their defense, three of those touchdowns were non-offensive touchdowns by Amory. It had, I think it was three consecutive non-offensive touchdowns, defensive and special teams. They were down a touchdown when that happened. That kind of broke the game open. And Amory continues to impress. And if I'm not mistaken, Blake, they can clinch the division if they beat Tishomingo County this week.
Yeah, I believe you're right, because they got wins over now Shannon, Pontotoc, and Itawamba. So.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. So, I mean, you kind of wonder how far this Amory team can go now. Glenn Allen.
Allen Glenn.
I always want to say Glenn Allen because the baseball player, the old baseball player named Glenn Allen Hill. I want to call him Glenn Allen. I don't know. Anyway, Allen Glenn has this team rolling along. What's that winning streak at now? Like six games?
I think it might be five.
Yeah, well, I'll go look it up. But a red hot team. You've seen them. I believe you've seen them play, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have. What a come from behind victory. I was at the Baldwin game, and I was talking with other people in the press box, you know, early when Amory was down, and, you know, some of the people in the press box were like, well, I guess this kind of proves, like, you know, they just got lucky against Pontotoc and whatnot. I was like, I don't know. I mean, they look to be a pretty solid team. Let's see how this finishes up. And
Shannon's no slouch.
No, yeah, right? I mean, you know, they can put up points in a hurry, and –
yeah,
Amory did what they needed to do to come away with it.
Amory has won six in a row. They're 3-0 now in Division One 4A, sitting atop the standings there. Like I said, at 3-0, a game ahead of Pontotoc and Itawamba, two teams that they've already beaten. They've got to finish out the season with Tisch County on the road and then Corinth at home. So Amory in good shape. Baldwin defeated East Union. I believe you were at this game, weren't you?
I was.
Yes. Handily, 64-22. Baldwin, the team that started off the season slow, but as we've seen with some teams, North Pontotoc being another example, slow start in non-division, but once they get into division play, they've kind of shown people who's boss.
Yeah, and like Baldwin's coach Michael Gray would say, you know, it wasn't necessarily a slow start. We just faced some really great competition to prepare us for this team, right? And, like, you know, and you see Baldwin, it's like, oh, wow, you know, they're going into that East Union game 4-4. They must have had a slow start. And you'd say, no, we're really talented. We just faced really good teams.
Yeah.
And that helped us prepare for matches like this. And, boy, were they prepared for it.
I mean, East Union, I mean, they've been tearing it up this year. They got the Wilkinson kid at running back who's run for a bunch of yards and touchdowns. And their coach said basically this, the Baldwin was too fast for them, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, and just that's kind of the theme you hear whenever you play Baldwin, or I've talked to multiple coaches when they play them, and they say, man, they are just athletic everywhere, especially on that defensive front with Jimmy Tyes, and yeah, they just got speed all over the field. It's hard to break loose.
Yeah, so that sets up a big division game for Baldwin this week, which I'll mention later on when we preview some big matchups this week. But yeah, in Division 1-2A, Baldwin is sitting on top. I'm going to pull up the standings here at 3-0, tied with Walnut. All right, and then some other notable results from this past week, just to hit on them real quick. Itawamba AHS defeated Corinth 24-14. I mean, you got all these really good teams vying for playoff spots. There's only so many to go around, so that's a big win for Itawamba. Calhoun City and the Schooner River rivalry dispatched of Bruce pretty handily, 50-8. So Calhoun City, as we know, is really good. And Lafayette over New Albany, 52-17. And I meant to go look at those the standings in 4A, but Lafayette's doing awfully well. I mean, that's a team that lost a couple early on, and they've kind of been, you know.
Ever since that Oxford win.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They've been rolling.
They're 3-0 in Division 2 4A there, 6-2 overall for Lafayette. So they're leading that division. So just some notable results there from last week. This week, some big games coming up. Again, we've got Baldwin, as I mentioned, now 3-0 in division. Walnut's 3-0 in division. They meet at Walnut. Basically, you figure the winner of this one wins the 1-2A title.
Yeah, absolutely. And Walnut might be the only one that could that has an athlete that can go toe-to-toe with Baldwin, right. And that's Montario Hunt, who's had just a terrific year coming back from the injury. I mean, you know, it seems like he scores like a 40-yard touchdown every single game just because he's so athletic. So right. He'll probably be, Baldwin's got Calvin Harris and Felix Hayes, really athletic guys in the secondary who will probably try to key up on Hunt wherever he goes, and vice versa, Hunt will key up on them on defense. So it'll come down to probably which athlete kind of shines more.
Okay. And then in 6A, Tupelo, our number one large school, Gene, going to travel up to DeSoto Central, again, put that unbeaten record on the line.
Right.
And DeSoto's struggled a little bit this year, 1-3 in division. And
they've gotten whacked in the division. I mean, they have lost. Yeah. They have lost handedly. Now, the coaches can put a spin on it that, hey, these guys have played you close the last couple of years. I don't have to kind of put that spin on it. I think Tupelo's defense, the way it's playing, I'm not saying you got to play the game. DeSoto Central didn't call and concede the game.
Right.
But Tupelo is very confident right now. The South Panola win helped that confidence.
Certainly.
Even if Sandroni plays the entire game, if that should be the case, I think coaches are comfortable with him running the offense. He made the throws last week. He's got the running backs. I believe with Tupelo's offensive firepower, although it's been spread out, it's more like a shotgun. There's a pellet here and another one there, a running back pellet, and a couple of wide receiver pellets and quarterback pellet. But they should be able to score enough, and the defense they've just been putting the hammer on everybody.
Yeah, they have, and I expect they will this week.
Yeah.
And after that, you look down the line, they've got Horn Lake, which is doing awfully well this year at 8-1, 3-1 in division.
That's their biggest challenge next week. That'll be for the number one seed.
Yeah, then after that, they'll close out with Olive Branch, a team that is last in the division, haven't won a game yet. Next week looks like the last big test for Tupelo before the playoffs, but you got to, can't look ahead. You got to take care of business against DeSoto Central first thing. And let's look at 1A. Vardaman and Smithville both putting together very good seasons in Division 1-1A, and they meet up this week at Smithville. Vardaman is 4-1 in division. Smithville is 4-0. So this is another one of those games that looks like it's going to be kind of, the winner has the inside track to win in the top division.
Absolutely. And much like the Baldwin-Walnut game, this one might come down to which guy for each team can make the biggest play, which star player can. D. Moore for Smithville has over 1,000 yards rushing and 21 touchdowns, while Brandon Washington for Vardaman has almost 900 yards of total offense and 17 touchdowns.
And what's interesting, both these teams rolling along, but they are both coming off losses last
year.
Smithville stepped out of division and lost to Nanawaya, while Vardaman lost a division game to West Lowndes, their first division loss. But two very good teams, and 1A football around here is usually pretty solid, and so that'll be a fun one to take in if you have the chance. And other notable games to keep an eye on this week, you got Shannon at Corinth, a big 1-4A battle there, again, as they jockey for playoff position. Itawamba AHS at Pontotoc, that should be a good one right there.
A lot of offense there, I would imagine.
Yeah, I could see a high-scoring game. And then Kossuth, our number one small school, will visit Benton County, our number three school. Those teams both 3-0 in Division 1-3A.
So that's tomorrow.
One. Oh, that's right. That's the Thursday game. Yeah. So, and Benton County, they beat Boonville last week. They're really making a statement.
They are playing well.
That's one of those teams that's, again, kind of on the fringe of our coverage area. But
that's at Kossuth.
Well. Is it at Kossuth?
They switched it up. Kossuth bought them out, and they're playing there.
Okay. So they switched it up. Okay. Well, the schedule said something else, I believe. But or I misread it. That's possible.
No, it's probably wrong.
Yeah.
All right. So it's Benton County at Kossuth Thursday.
Yes.
Is there any other games Thursday? Is there, it seems like there's one other one.
There is Potts Camp at East Union.
Okay. Well, if you have to go see something, I'd go see that Benton County Kossuth game.
A bit more on the line.
Yeah, a lot more on the line.
Yeah.
So certainly. yeah. All right. So that's a quick look ahead to some of this week's big games. Gene, let's talk a little bit about softball, or Blake, whoever wants to talk about it. I know, actually, Blake, you were softball last night.
I was.
And we covered a couple of other series as well. It was the North Finals / State Semifinals, and we had some big-time area matchups, including Nettleton and Morville, always a big rivalry there. Mm-hmm. And Morville wins the series. Not surprising, but I guess either way it's not surprising. Those two teams are always in the mix, and so they're going to go play for state on Saturday.
Yeah, and it was a lot like last year where Morville, you know, last year Morville really dominated the regular season and beat Nettleton twice in the regular season, and then Nettleton swept them at Morville last year on the way to go to the championship. And then this year Nettleton had the really strong regular season, beat Morville twice. Mm-hmm. In the regular season, then Morville comes out and sweeps them. Yeah. So it kind of reversed from last year. But talking to Wilburn, the Morville coach, afterwards, he echoed a lot of what you're saying right now, where it's just a battle. And he said, you know, we were due to come out for a big one, and we did. They hit 12 home runs in the first game, and then 7 in the second, which ended in the fifth because of a run rule.
Well, yeah. So Morville advances. In 3A, they'll play Choctaw Central on Saturday down in Ridgeland. Then we had a couple of other area matchups. In 2A, you had East Webster beating East Union.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1A, you had Hamilton beating Smithville. And all these teams are pretty regular. They make regular appearances deep into the playoffs. So all those teams, local teams, will be playing for state titles. All these games are Saturday, correct, in Ridgeland.
Yeah, Hamilton and East Webster play at 10:30. Okay. Morville plays at noon.
Okay, that's right, because actually Hamilton, no, that is 1A. Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton's 1A, and then East Webster's
playing
the 2A.
For the 2A title, and then, of course, Morville will play for the 3A title. So there's your softball update. Gene, you got a volleyball update for us.
I do, and I've also got, I'm glad you asked that question segment.
Oh, boy.
Braden Bishop, Sports Information Director at Tupelo High, and broadcast. Yep. T. Braden, he just tweeted me or sent me a text that said South Panola was shut out by Memphis University School this season.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody's watching the webcast. How about
that? There we go. Hey.
Well, prior to this season, I wonder when it was, because it had to have been a while. This is a weird season for South Panola to have as many losses.
Look that one up, T. Braden. I covered volleyball last night. We're in the middle of the state volleyball playoffs. Second round is Saturday.
Okay.
Tupelo defeated South Haven last night and will play at Clinton Saturday. I'll be there for that game. You've got Corinth playing at Oxford. That's in Class 2. Tupelo's in Class 3. You have three classes, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Tupelo's in Class 3. In Class 2, you've got Corinth at Oxford playing. And in the winners of all these matches go to a Final Four next week at Millsaps.
Okay.
And then in Class 1, we've got Alcorn Central at St. Andrews and Madison St. Joe playing at Belmont.
Cool. All right. Good deal. So there's your volleyball playoff update from Gene Phelps. I guess we'll close it out now, guys, with the athletes of the week. We do this every week where you recognize a male and female athlete of the week for their exploits on the field of play. I got them right here. I'll just do them.
All right.
Is that fine?
Go for it.
Is that good? Am I allowed to do that? Of course I am. I'm the host.
It's your show, yeah.
Yeah, it is. No, that kid. But yeah, let's go with the female athlete of the week first. We just talked about Morville softball. Bailey Filgo of Morville softball yesterday in the series win against Nettleton. She hit 4 home runs on the day over 2 games. One of them was a grand slam, and she was the winning pitcher in those games. Of course, it's slow pitch, so it's not like it's hard on the arm, but she was the winning pitcher, hit 4 home runs, and then helped Marvel advance.
Nettleton's coach credited her with changing up her pitching style.
Really?
After the first 2 innings, she gave up 10 runs.
Uh-huh.
The remaining innings in the first game and also the second game, she gave up 11 runs.
You look at slow pitch, and I guess
so it totally flipped it.
You watching?
He
like,
said,
oh,
he
just
said she started putting backspin on it, and they just couldn't get it out.
I guess there are some things you can do in slow pitch to mix things up. But fast pitch is a little more maybe some more technique involved, but certainly she did something right, no doubt. Your male athlete of the week is Uriah Shepherd, the quarterback for Houston. He's a dual threat guy, and last weekend he did it with his arm and his legs. He threw for 246 yards. He ran for 180. He scored two touchdowns, I believe one through the air, one running, and Houston beat Leak Central 42-14. So congrats to Bailey Filgo of Morville and Uriah Shepherd of Houston, our athletes of the week here on Prep Rally. And that's it for the episode this week. Coming to you every Wednesday again. It's a webcast and a podcast. You can find us in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. The webcast airs about 11 a.m. every Wednesday. You can catch the replay if you miss it. And I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps and follow these guys on Twitter at Gene Phelps, at Blake Morgan DJ. I'm at Brad Locke. A couple of other podcasts that I want to remind you about. We have the double coverage with covering Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry every Thursday. And then we have the Memo podcast as well with myself and W. Derek Russell 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, every all things Northeast Mississippi news and entertainment. What are you giggling about?
I ran a video Facebook wearing a creepy clown mask.
Oh,
years ago.
Some of those creepy clowns?
He was the original creepy clown.
Oh, that's a lot. That's an old picture.
Yeah, it is. That's from 1980.
You haven't spotted any creepy clowns
on
football games.
I'll be wearing my clown mask next week on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Be careful. I heard people started shooting at clowns now. Got to watch out for those. All right, that's it for the show today. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, Blake Morgan. Have a good one.